And I'm going to read the whole chapter. Actually, I'm going to read it. I'm going to put it in the King James Version up there, but I'm going to read it in the ASV this morning. I believe so. That's what I wrote down. I might not be able to find it. This 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtain mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience or conscience in the sight of God. Linwood has me saying conscience all the time. In the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the God, small g, of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not of ourselves, but Christ. Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God, and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh this in us not, death worketh in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, that therefore did I speak. We also believe, and therefore also we speak, knowing that he that raised up Jesus shall be raised up us also with Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the grace may be multiplied through the many, may cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. Wherefore we faint not, but through our outward man in decaying, yet is our inward man is renewed day by day. For in the light affliction, which is for our moment, for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an external weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father God, I just come before you today. And fathers, we open up your word as Paul speaks to the Corinthian church of the things that are mortal and the things that are our life and the things that are death, and you are life. And so, Father, as I bring your word today, Father, as you've written it on my heart this past week, Father, I pray that I will give your word as you directed. Father, speak to my heart today, God, and speak through my voice today, Father. I give you permission to use me in every way that you call me to be used today, Father. Father, I pray over every heart this morning that is in this place and that will hear on live later on, Father. I pray that you will touch them in a mighty way and keep them strong in you, in Jesus' mighty name. Today's message came from a time that I needed to be persistent. Perseverance, should I say. Anybody have to persevere through things in your life? I take that as about every one of us, right? Today's message is going to be perseverance, persistence, and patience. See, sometimes I get the mindset of Lance. You ever get that mindset? Not my mindset, but you ever get the mindset maybe of Tabitha or the mindset of put your name in there? You ever get that mindset of something comes into your mind and you just can't get rid of it and the enemy has placed it in there and you just, It's like when you're doing stuff for the Lord and the enemy comes in and tries to put these thoughts in your mind. Then all of a sudden, you begin to start thinking of yourself. You begin to have the mindset, I'm going to say Lance. I got the mindset of Lance, and I begin to start to analyze things. And my mindset does not line up with God's mindset, I'll tell you that, because I'm an earthly vessel, but the kingdom of God is resided in me, but my mind is still here. And so I still can go into that place of being myself, and that's hard. That's hard when you start thinking of those things. But there's no possible way that you can do it, God. You know, you ever get there? There's no possible way, God. In my mindset, I'm thinking, there's no possible way, God. I've been doing this over and over and over, week after week after week, and I'm not seeing anything move. And what is the use? See, that's what your mind begins to think. What is the use? You ever been there? You ever gotten there? Are you there today? See, it happens to each and every one of us. If you allow yourself to get into yourself, the enemy will enrich those thoughts. He will enrich those things in your life, and you will begin to waver in your faith. See, the Bible tells us to take every thought captive, right? Why do we take every thought captive? Because not every thought is from God, right? Not every thought is from God, but the enemy tries to put those thoughts in your mind, so you got to take those thoughts captive. If me and my wife were out walking around and some gorgeous girl walked by, where would my mind be? Same with you ladies. If Tabitha was walking with me, some guy, hunk, was walking around, and she would look, where would her mind be? Would she have the mind of Christ, or would she have Tabitha's mind? So we need to have the mind of Christ continually in our life. Continually. Because the enemy wants to deceive you. He wants to put deception in your thought process. He wants to put deception in your heart. See, when you get it into your mind, you'll get it into your heart. And when out of the heart, what happens? The mouth begins to speak. You begin to speak things that are not of God. See, he is a destroyer of life and everything God has established, especially mankind. He will destroy us as quick as we allow him to. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 1 and 5, it says, therefore, is there any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. How many times do we put on our own mind, like the mind of Lance, and I'm all about Lance, and I think about Lance. What can this do for Lance instead of what can it do for the body of Christ? So we persevere. We're constantly in persevere mode. We gotta persevere through things in life. Persevering is something that makes us work harder. It makes us love the Lord even harder. Now, if you don't have any perseverance in your heart or in your spirit, you could fall away from the Lord very easily. You know, when I remember the first time that sixth grade, do you guys remember sixth grade and you had to run the mile? Had anybody ever ran? I never ran the mile. I never ran and no one knew what that was. But you had to run this mile underneath so many minutes. What was it, 7 minutes? 10 minutes. Oh, okay. So anyway, so I've never ran a mile before and been timed. And so I'm running, and I'm running pretty fast, and I'm moving along. He's clocking you every time you go around. It's like, I don't know what it would be to go around at once, like one minute, 50 seconds or whatever. And so he's seeing this, and then you go running hard, and then that last lap, you're on your third lap or your fourth lap around. You just started, and he said, pick it up, pick it up. And so then you're running, you're giving it your all. and you're at the last 100 yards, and your legs feel like they're getting ready to fall off. You ever been there? It feels like there's nothing there. You're running so hard. And then he clicks the clicker. And he gives you a time. I say mine was 5:25. Okay. I couldn't remember. I thought it might have been 10 minutes. But anyway, we could have quit. You could have quit. I've seen a lot of people begin to walk. They started to walk after the third lap or after the second lap. They began to walk. Why? Because they had no perseverance in them. They had no gut in them. You have to have some gut to have some perseverance, right? You have to have some tenacity to keep moving forward. You have to have something in your mind that says, I am not going to quit. I'm going to keep moving forward. With our Christian life, we need to keep moving forward. We cannot quit on God. We cannot quit on ourselves. We cannot quit on our family. See, perseverance is a steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay and achieving success. Sometimes I wonder, as I come here on Wednesday night and Friday night and I pray, and I can do this at home. And sometimes I wonder, it's like, God, what's even happening in the spiritual realm? This is Lance's thought, see? This is not the mind of Christ, but this is sometimes the enemy wants to plant things in my mind. And so I'm going to be real with you because this is what the enemy does to me. And if he does it to me, I know he's doing it to you. Robin could probably say, you know, I don't understand. You know, we had a worship team, we don't now, and now we do have a worship team. And I'm struggling every week and every Sunday. And it's like, God, I know you called us to pray. That's who you called us to do. And so I come in and I pray and I get before the Lord. And sometimes the Lord says nothing. You ever been there? When he says nothing. And it's so hard to say, God, I just want you to speak to me. I just want to know your voice. See, that's when you're on the lap, you're on the track and you're running around and you're on that last lap, that last 100 yards, and you're pushing on. You could just quit. Or you persevere and you move forward. And James 1, 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That was the NIV version. But perseverance, in different translations, says patience. Have patience. Or endure. See, the Greek word is hupama, meaning steadfastness, consistency, and endurance. See, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Patiently and steadfastly, waiting for a patient, enduring, sustaining, and perseverance. We have to persevere. We have to constantly give it, maybe take a gut check sometimes. In anything that you're doing, in your marriage, in your life, in your careers. Sometimes you got to take a gut check. We lost a great brother last week. He left this world too early. Stephen Branham got into a place in his mind and he ended up taking his life. Sometimes I ask myself, where was I at? Where was I at for him? I could have been there for him. I didn't go check on him. I didn't go check on him, but he got into a place that the enemy got into his mind and he began to destroy it piece by piece, thought by thought. We know people in those places today. We know people in those places today that are dealing with depression. Places that the enemy loves to get you in. Because he knows that you will destroy yourself of all the thoughts that go through your mind. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." See, there is a reward to the end. There is a reward to persevering. There is a reward to the things that we are doing in the kingdom of God. There is a reward to you persevering in your faith. There is a reward to persevering in your ministry. Each one of us has a ministry here. Are you persevering in it? So the Lord says, persevere, push through, push on. Have victory over your adversary. Are we pushing on? Are we pushing through? And so in my prayer time on Friday night and my prayer time on Wednesday night, I push on and I push through. It doesn't matter who comes. It doesn't matter who shows up, because I'm going to push on and push through, because I'm going to defeat the enemy on my face. And I'm going to continue on, pressing on and pushing on. There is no excuse not to push on. There is no excuse not to persevere. Colossians 1:9-14 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the sons of his love, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins." See, it doesn't matter what's going on in this physical world. It doesn't matter what life is throwing at you. It doesn't matter your physical limitations. It doesn't matter the limitations that you have on yourself, because there is no limitations in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do everything. I can walk out the things that God has for me because he is with me. I can endure to have the victory. I can continually moving forward. And the forces of darkness cannot discourage me. That's where we got to get. The forces of darkness cannot discourage us at all. And I listened to the sermons. There were four pastors that spoke at Stephen's funeral yesterday, and I heard all about Stephen, and I heard about how much he loved and how much he gave and how much he would wrap his arms around people and he would do the work of the Lord, and he loved the Lord. But inside his mind, inside his thoughts, the enemy was throwing things around. Of the heart, he knew that God loved the people, and he knew that he was supposed to show love to people. But he couldn't get that block that the enemy had placed in his mind, out of his mind. So when we get discouraged, we lose focus on God's plan he has for us. We lose focus on our marriages. We lose focus on our life when we lose focus on God's plan that he has for us. When we get discouraged, we say, "I'll just quit. We just won't do it anymore. It'll be okay. God will have a way. He'll find someone else." But God don't want to find someone else. He wants you to do the things that he's called you to do. He wants you to be the person he wants you to be. He does not want anyone else to do what he's called you to do. You have a purpose in your life. Keep moving forward. So I believe there's a purpose for every individual in this earth, is to reveal the kingdom of God, is to reveal Jesus to the world. That is what I think. I think everyone should reveal Christ. In every attribute of your life, you should reveal Christ. Be imagers of Jesus, right? John Quincy Adams said this, "Patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish." Samuel Johnson said this, great works are performed not by strength, but by perseverance. Your level of success is determined by your level of discipline and perseverance. And I love Robin and the family here, but I know you've dealt with trials of leading worship. But you persevere. You're pushing on through things that God has called you to do, and that's what's amazing, that you haven't stopped. Some of you don't know her story. You could probably talk to her. She'll give you the story. But God is still using you in your calling because you're persevering. You didn't quit. You're not giving up. You're not saying, I've had enough. God, I don't understand. And I know you've prayed, and I've prayed for different things, and we don't see it come to fruition, but we don't know, but we persevere. Even though I can't feel my legs when I'm running, even though I can't do the things I think I need to do, I still persevere. I still move forward because the calling of God on my life says to keep moving forward. There's too many people in the ministry. There's too many people in the worship places and the different in any ministry that are being pulled away because it gets too hard. It gets too tough. It gets too rough. Marriages fall apart because it gets too rough. Families fall apart. Children fall away because it gets too tough. Nobody wants to persevere. Nobody wants to be imagers of God. They only want to image themselves. And when we take God out of everything in our life, when we only put Him in certain sections of our life, we miss the whole point, because God wants to reveal your whole life, reveal Himself through your whole life. We take the shortcut and say, I quit. Not here. Not here at Calvary. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep pressing on. We're going to keep persevering through those tough times. See, no matter the issues, no matter the sickness, no matter the diseases, no matter the circumstances, Jesus is still at the right hand of God, and He has never left. He is interceding for the church today. He is interceding for Robin. He's interceding for me. He's interceding for Tabitha. He's interceding for Sonny. No matter what the cost, He is there at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He has not given up. He has not quit. He will not quit until we meet Him in the air. He will not quit until the millennial kingdom comes. He is not going to quit on us. He will never quit. See, we must persevere. There is no excuses. So we can only see in the physical realm. We cannot see in the physical realm unless the Lord opens your eyes. And sometimes you can see in the physical or the spiritual realm. But what He is doing in this sanctuary, and what He's doing on Wednesday nights and Friday nights, what He's doing in your homes, what He's doing in your life, in the spiritual realm, is far more than you could even fathom. Keep pressing on. Keep persevering forward. Keep moving forward. Do you have that video? I have a video from Facing the Giants. Has anybody seen that movie? You'll probably want to rewatch it after you see this today. Go ahead.
It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he
does. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go.
Oh,
It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You will be your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best.
You are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Each one of you are the most influential player in your family's life. Influential player. That they are people, or your children are looking to you to not to give up. In your ministry, if you're ahead of your ministry, you are the most influential player not to give up. Perseverance is going to take guts. Perseverance takes work. Perseverance is hard. But God says, I've called you to persevere. I'm here with you. If we give up, our children see us give up, our people that sit underneath us see us give up, and what is the use anymore? We can do more than we let ourselves imagine. Perseverance. Second thing is persistence. So you got to be able to persevere and have persistence. To be persistent, we are dedicated, determined, and endure with tenacity. Persistence is a firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. See, the forces of darkness want you to lose your hope. They want you to lose your hope. Want you to lose your hope. They want you to lose your hope. We're not going to lose our hope. They want to get into your thoughts that there's no way God can touch me. There's no way God can heal me. There's no way God can use me. I'm broken. I'm not the person I used to be. See, that's what the enemy wants you to think. But you are the person that God created you to be. You are the strength that God created you to be. You are the person and the voice that God said for you to be. As long as you are walking into those things that God has called you to do, He is going to see you through it. The enemy will only tear you down. He will only give you depression. But God will give you excitement and joy within your spirit. He will give you confidence. The enemy wants you to feel sorry for yourself. God wants you to know that you are strong and mighty in the Lord. You ever, Wes probably knows this, and some of you that played basketball or any sport that you played, that whenever you come into an end of the game time and they're fouling you, we're playing basketball, and you have to go to the free throw line. What's the other coach do? Timeout. What's he trying to do? Get in your head. He's trying to get into a place of, oh, now he's going to think about his shot. He's going to have to think about him shooting because we're one down. They need to make this shot and the shot after to go ahead. And so now you've been iced for 30 seconds or a minute, and now you've got to go to the free throw line and begin to do the things that you're used to doing, right? And so you dribble the ball so many times, however your routine is. You spin it, whatever you do, and you get in that place and you shoot your shot. Knowing that God in you, knowing the persistence that you've worked all those other years, all that practice up to that time that you got in that free throw line when they called timeout, you have done the same thing over and over and over again. You do it again and again and again. Repetitive motion, repetitive motion, repetitive motion. And so when you get into those spots, you are at ease and you are at peace. When you get into the piano and you begin to sing, when you get into those places, you just do because God said do. You do the things that you've always done before. You begin to shoot. You begin to shoot and do it over and over and over again because persistence pays off. It could be a field goal that they ice the kicker. But what he's done over and over and over again is he punted that football over and over again, hours upon hours upon hours. You've prayed over and over and over again, but God still hasn't answered, but still you continue to pray. See, the things that you do over and over and over again will always be affected when you get into that point, a position where you have to perform. And then you perform. And you do the things God called you to do because you step out in faith. It doesn't matter the world around you. It doesn't matter the enemy on your back. It doesn't matter what's going on. You will stand with God, and God is in you, and He will do the things through you. Constantly be persistent. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Do you ever lose heart when you got on the free throw line when it was time? The game was on the line. Did you lose heart? You wanted the ball, didn't you? You wanted the ball because you knew. You had practiced over and over and over again. The Lord shows up, you want on the piano. You want to be in that place of worship. You want to be in that voice and allow the voice of the Lord to carry through, because you know he's been there for you from the beginning. He was with you last year, he's with you this year, and he's with you today. He has not stopped, and he's never left you, and he never will. He has always continually be with us. When I'm in my prayer time on Friday night, I know he's here, and I know the presence of the angels are all around. It doesn't matter who else is here. I'm staying, and I'm doing the things that God has called me to do. It doesn't matter. I'm going to continually press on. You might say, well, I don't have faith if I pray, and I pray again and again and again. Well, listen to this. In Luke 11:9-10, it says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." This is what the New Living Translation says. And so I tell you, keep on asking. And you who receive what you ask for, keep on seeking. And if you find, and if you will find, keep on knocking. And the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. It will be open to you. Listen to this in Mark 11:24. It says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received, and it will be yours." Here's where people say you only have to pray once. I think you need to pray and continue to pray and continue to pray and say, "God, until you answer me, I'm going to continue to bang the door of heaven, and I'm coming before you, and I'm going to keep on asking." Whatever your desire is. See, the Greek word is aitola, which means to ask, beg, call, or crave, desire, or require. It's to continually, "Lord, I require you to heal my wife. I require for you to do the things. I'm not going to stop asking. I'm going to keep praying. I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm going to keep praying for the things of God in this church. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep begging, if that's what you want to call it. But I'm going to keep moving forward, even if the enemy tries to discourage me. I'm going to keep doing it." See, some will say you only have to pray once. If you pray twice, you don't have any faith, because you just don't have no faith. You're praying again and again and again and again. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I say pray again. Pray again and pray again. Here's why. Luke 18:1-5, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them. The men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she wearies me down," basically. And listen to Jesus' response here in 6-8. "Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will really find faith on the earth." See, it says don't give up. So I pray once, I don't receive, I just let it go. No, my faith is, "God, I still believe in you. I still believe you're the creator. I still believe that you still heal the sick today. I still believe that your power is going to move across this earth. I still believe that his Holy Spirit is going to rain down on all flesh." That's what his word says. I don't think it's rained down on all flesh yet. And I still think it's coming. See, we need to be persistent in our callings and our purposes in our life. We need to continually pray for our callings. We need to just continually pray for our ministries. Not just pray the one-time prayer and say it's done. No, it's not done. I continually seek the Lord. I continually seek him day and night for what he's going to do. If you're having trouble in your marriage, you're having trouble with your kids, continually seek the Lord. You continually to pray. You continually to move in. Be steady in what you do. That he will find faith. It says he will find faith in the earth. He said that after this parable. After this judge says, you know what, they make me weary. These people make me weary. I'm not of God, but she makes me weary. I'm going to grant her justice. And then Jesus answered and said, this is how you should do. This is what you should be like. And he says, I will tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will really find faith in the earth. That's after this, the word says, keep asking, keep begging, keep praying, keep moving, keep asking. Be persistent. See, we need to be persistent on the callings and purposes in our life. We don't stop even when the enemy tries to detour us. Persistence. The third P of the day is patience. To practice patience, we bear without complaint. How many love patience? You guys love to be patient? It's probably one of the hardest things to do is be patient. Patient in marriage, patient in your wife when you come to church, patience for your children, patience for prayer, patience in waiting. It says to practice patience, we bear without complaint. We suppress restlessness, and we endure long suffering. Being patient consists of being content and at peace. Are you at peace when you're patiently waiting? Are you at peace? Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer. Continually steadfast in prayer, continually praying and being patient. Being at peace when you're patient. See, this is one of the hardest things I believe for the Christian life. I believe this is one of the hardest things. God will give you a word. You know, anybody been there that God has given you a word? And all of a sudden you think that it's supposed to happen now, right? God gives you a word and it's supposed to happen now. But it might be years in the making. Do we still linger on to that word? Do we remember the calling? Do you remember the word that he spoke? And you know, if it was a word from God, you know you still remember the word, but you gave up on the word. Are you continually without complaint? Are you continually in a restful state? As it says, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer. When he gives you that word, you want it to happen now. I want it to happen now. I want to see God move in this city so bad. So I wait. I say, what do I need to do, Lord? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And keep praying. I want to see the wheelchairs outside of these doors. I want to see the hearing aids on the floor. I want to see glasses laid down. I pray for that all the time. I'm sick of wearing these things. And I continually pray for it. But I'm patient because I still wear them. You know, God waited 4,000 years to bring Jesus into the earth in the flesh. 4,000 years. Can you imagine that? 4,000 years, people didn't even know about Jesus at the time, earlier days. And then this Bible tells us that when Malachi said his last prophetic word, it was 400 years of nothing. No word of God, no word of the Lord, nothing. 400 years. And then an archangel comes to a little lady, little girl, and all of a sudden Jesus begins to come into the earth. 400 years of silence. So the word of the Lord says that he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Do you believe that today? I believe it when I watch the young children come to the altar on their own. They come to the altar because they've watched adults come to the altar. Sometimes I think they think it's a game, but this morning Owen went to the altar for some other reason than that. I don't know why he went to the altar. But he was drawn to the altar for some reason. I don't know if it's to influence you. Can a six-year-old influence you? I don't know. But the Lord was doing something today in our little children that's saying, I'm going to pour out my flesh on all human beings, the young, the old, and I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be patient. So we've all had words given to us. This church has had words spoken over it. Be patient in those things and be steadfast in what God is going to do. So I'm going to close today. This is not one of those sermons that say, oh, I'm going to make you change. You need to change your life. But I'm going to tell you to be persistent, persevere, and be patient. See, today's message is to encourage you where you're at. To encourage you that God still has a plan for your life. To encourage you that God still wants to use you no matter of your age. Some of you have given up. Some of you have given up on the plans and purposes and callings of God in your life. You have given up on it. Why? It's too hard. Family gets in the way. Work gets in the way. Business gets in the way. People get in the way. God never gave up on you. He's never given up on you. He never will give up on you because he wants you. There is a calling on your life. If it's just for your family, there's a calling on your life. You are the most persuasive person in your family. It could be mother or father. It could be husband or wife. It could be either one. You are the most persuasive person in your family. And I can say this to my dad. You are the most persuasive person in our family. And what you say and what you do will change the outlook of your family. It will change your sons, your daughters. It will change your daughter, your son-in-laws. It will change your daughter-in-law. Of what you say and how you act and what you say of the Lord, what the Lord has done in my life will change you and change your family. If you do not speak it and you keep it in your heart, you know the Lord done something. And you keep it in here, it does no good except for you to know. But if you let other people know the testimony of what God has done in your life, changes. It is a word that changes the lives of other people. It says, do it again, Lord. Do it again, God. Do it again, what you've done in me. Do it again. There cannot be no fear in what God does in our life. There cannot be no fear on the calling of God in our life. There cannot be no fear in the calling of God on our life. So the enemy will want to say, Tabitha, you're sick. The enemy want to say, Tabitha, you're not going to make it. When she was younger, her mother died at 50. And so they thought that was their lot, that they were going to die early. And so when she's growing up, she loses her mom at age 20. And when she's growing up, she says, I'm not going to make it. This is the enemy. It's the enemy talking. There's no calling. You can't have a calling on your life because you're going to die at this age. Then this was going on in her mind all the time. The enemy can say that to you. You could be dealing with a health issue, and you maybe like Robin, that's your voice or whatever's going on. That the enemy said God had called you to do something greater, and he's going to continually do things greater in you. And you're going to continually press on, even when the enemy says you can't. Because what God has established in you is still established in you. And so with her, so she's thinking about this thing. She can't move forward, she can't go anywhere because she thinks. The enemy has placed this in her heart, see? She gets past the age of 50, and she knows that God, and she's learned some things through the church, and she's learned some things through the Father, and she's been engaging in the Father, and he tells her how much he loves her and how much she's going to live on. We got to be persistent, never giving up, never giving losing hope. We need to persevere through the tough times. We need to be persistent with praying and not giving up. And we need to have some patience when we see the good things of God. We hear the good things of God. Wait for them to come to pass. Because they're going to. The Lord's word is true. The Lord never lies. He's never deceitful. He never tries to tell you something that is not true. He tells you what is going to happen. He tells you what's going to come forth. He's always done it before it happens. He speaks a word through his prophets. He speaks a word through his people, and then it happens. So I'm going to tell you today, God is still doing and going to use each and every one of you in your calling that God has established you in. So, Father, I come before you this morning, and I just come against every enemy, every